People sharing this service with me today make up the Worship and Arts Council here at First Parish. This means we work together to continually craft worship that works. Together, we have spent probably about 6 hours discussing matters of life and death in preparation for this morning. Someone said they wish we had taped it. Each of us has prepared a brief statement saying what we believe happens after a person dies. After each sharing, there'll be a poem or a scripture or prose reading that might inspire other knowings, other wonderings, other thoughts. It has been said more than once that religions grew up because human beings have to decide how to live, knowing that they will someday die. We know that all humans wonder about death and must adapt to it as a reality sooner or later. As Unitarian Universalists, we are each free to believe what we find to be true. It is in the sharing that we shape and move each other in our journeys. In this time of year that seems to urge us to consider death and its companion life, when we often remember more poignantly the beloveds we have lost, it is our shared hope that you will find our sharing inspiration toward those musings and thoughts. Each one of us, I think, has been changed in some way by our collective efforts. It has been a joy and a privilege to be together with the five of you in this process, in this experience.
Good morning. This one? So I was raised Catholic, and my first belief about life after death was heaven, the good place you go to when you were good, and hell, when you were not. I was not very old when I started to question this belief. I have not been a heaven and hell guy for a long time now. It is easy to think that our lives, our essences, our bodies, our feelings, our thoughts. When our body dies, so do our thoughts and feelings, and what's left? Well, nothing's left. But I'm not a fan of nothing. It does not feel right to me. I do think that no matter what I come up with, life after death will be something different than that. Simply said, I don't know. One of life's great mysteries. However, I do have some beliefs about life after death. The first thing I believe is that it cannot be bad. It is not a vengeful God who will cast me into eternal suffering. At worst, it is neutral. Nothing after death is neutral. I choose to believe it is not neutral. I think that there is purpose for living. I choose to believe that it is not neutral. I think it is like the many other things I see in the world. There are reasons for things, the cycles of life. Even in randomness, patterns are formed and good things come out of them. Termites and hurricanes have purpose. Dying is graduating from life. Maybe it's heaven, being with God. Maybe all our loved ones will be there to welcome us. Maybe it is a release from identity and separation, a great joining where what was Greg separate and alone is now a part of something greater. Maybe it is nothing. Does it matter what I believe? Other than intellectual curiosity, how to sleep easier at night, I don't think it matters at all. I think even the Catholics believe that non-believers do not just go to hell. Maybe they don't go to heaven, but they go someplace good. That is, if they live good lives. What you believe is not as important as how you live. I believe if you live your life doing good, you'll be glad you did when you die.
The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
When my two kids were young, both preschool age, I worried that the idea that something living could be dead was somehow too difficult to understand, too damaging, or too scary. In place of the word dead, I simply said that a person or an animal was no longer living. I laugh about it now, it seems ridiculous, but at the time I was very grateful for my extended family that they gently indulged this discomfort and didn't push me to face the truth, which was that I was likely protecting myself more than my kids from that difficult conversation. I wasn't prepared to talk with them about what dead means or what comes next. My kids are adults now themselves. One is quite comfortable talking about almost anything, and one is still much more likely to avoid those uncomfortable conversations. For me, I'm more at ease talking about death now, but I don't have better answers about what happens when we die. I think my discomfort then, as now, is with the idea that death marks the end of our being. My logical, rational mind can't make sense of life after death, or angels, or reincarnation. I'm a person persuaded by science in this and in most things, and yet, the idea that we are simply gone seems somehow not to satisfy my wish that there's something possible after death that calls us to live our best or fullest life while we're here. What I know to be true is that our presence on earth for as long as it lasts gives us the opportunity to connect with others. I believe that our spirit is revealed in these connections. How we live in the world, how we care for those we love, how we treat the stranger, how we reconcile conflict and uncertainty, how we make our way through joy and struggle. I believe that is what defines our spirit, and I believe it's our spirit that will outlast our human life on earth. I feel the spirit of those who are no longer living, those whose life made a difference for me, who shaped my values and my aspirations, or who helped me to understand the world differently. The belief that my living, the spirit of my life, could do this for others is part of what helps me to keep working to live a good and full life here on earth.
This reading by Merritt Malloy. When I die, give what's left of me away to children and old men that wait to die. And if you need to cry, cry for your brother walking the street beside you. And when you need me, put your arms around anyone and give them what you need to give to me. I want to leave you something, something better than words or sounds. Look for me in the people you've known or loved, and if you cannot give me away, at least let me live on in your eyes toward them and not on your mind. You can love me most by letting hands touch hands, by letting bodies touch bodies, and by letting go of children that need to be free. Love doesn't die, people do. So when all that's left of me is love, give me away.
What I believe happens after death. I didn't used to think of death. When I was younger, I pretty much ran on autopilot, going to work and coming home. But now, as I get older, I do. I've read a lot and meditated on it, and here's what I believe. I won't disappear, but I will morph into a field of energy. And that field of energy will float in the universe with other fields of energy, the loved ones I have lost and the ones I love still here on Earth, kind of like angels. I say that because I can't accept that the essence of Mary Ann or my loved ones will disappear for all eternity. And as for the people I didn't love in life, they're rough edges. The traits that used to drive me nuts here on Earth will have burned off into the ethos, and they will not annoy me anymore. This comforts me. My parents, who have both passed away, sometimes send me messages. During the recent recession, I got a job. It was the first anniversary of my father's death, and I felt my father was out there somewhere pulling strings for me. Another time, the very day my mother passed away, I got an invitation to sing a beautiful requiem in Concord, my hometown. An invitation, mind you, not an audition notice. Once again, I thought my mother was pulling strings. Because they insisted that I take up the violin and pursue the arts, when I hear classical music or do a drawing, I feel them loving me. So I believe I will carry on. I just don't know how or what that will look like. In the meantime, I can cherish the time I have here on Earth and help create heaven while I'm living by being kind to people.
A reading from the Hindu tradition. She is forever free who has broken out of the tyranny of me first, to be united with the Lord of love. This is the supreme state. Attain thou this and pass from death to immortality. Please join together in singing hymn 123, Spirit of Life. I approach the concept of death from a place where my scientific background and the belief that a hypothesis needs to be disproved
in order to be proven, is at odds with my ever-evolving, for lack of a better term, faith, a non-scientific portion of my being that cannot be disproved. I have been fortunate to have lived a life in which the people around me have generally shared their beliefs and ideas when I ask about them, but have also left me the space to continue my work through my own questions about what happens after we die. I try to do this with my own daughter, and yes, she asks many, many difficult and interesting questions, including about what happens after we die. I would like to share something she came up with when she was about 3 and a close family friend who she had never met had died. She understood that a person went far away, but then asked why we couldn't go visit them on an airplane since they took people very far. She had just been on her first airplane trip, and I explained that airplanes couldn't go that far, and then thought I was being ever so clever and getting her to sleep faster by saying that spaceships could not go that far either. After a quiet moment, she sat upright with a huge grin on her face and said, "I know, Mama, I know. It must be a really big truck. Everyone gets in a really big truck, and it goes way up in the sky, and everyone who loved that person has a picnic with them, and then everyone has to come back except for the person who died." I hated to break it to her that I had never experienced that exact thing when someone I loved had departed this earth. But I also didn't want to tell her that was not what happened. I mean, seriously, don't we really all hope for that last picnic? My own ideas about what happens after we die are a little different. I am comfortable with the idea that death is the end of something, but I must admit I cannot truly believe we are putting all of this time and effort into a portion of eternity for it to simply end, poof, that's it. Yes, maybe part of that is fear, but I also believe part of that is faith. This belief comes from a desire to meet up with loved ones who I miss terribly. Yep. I really want that picnic. I try to live the best I can now and do the best for others because of the influence of those people I miss. I have also had experiences that make me truly believe that some sort of energy about a person hangs around for a while after they're no longer living. It's not forever, and the time varies, but some of those who have been incredibly influential in my life and have had an impact on my life with some sort of massive presence while they were living, are there also with a presence after they are departed. I have been able to continue to live a positive, good life with their help after they're gone. When the need for that presence has been exhausted, and I am able to live my best life without the need for their continued help, I believe the energy becomes one with the universe again. This is my unprovable faith, which allows me to reconcile with the scientific fact that energy remains in balance in the universe and can neither be created nor destroyed.
A reading from Donna Markova, "I Will Not Die an Unlived Life." I will not die an unlived life. I will not live in fear of falling or catching fire. I choose to inhabit my days, to allow my living to open me, to make me less afraid, more accessible, to loosen my heart until it becomes a wing, a torch, a promise. I choose to risk my significance, to live so that which comes to me as a seed goes to the next as blossom, and that which came to me as blossom goes on as fruit.
For the longest time, I believed that death happened to other people, so I didn't give it too much thought. Growing up Catholic and being a good girl, of course I would go to heaven. For myself, that was okay. The problem was that my dad wasn't Catholic and didn't attend church with the rest of the family. I didn't like the idea of some awful eternity for him since he was denied salvation. I felt very conflicted being part of an organized religion that didn't extend its benefits to my father. Many years later, when it was time to find a spiritual home for my children, I decided to participate in a religion that we could all go to and all feel like we belonged. That's how I ended up here at First Parish in Framingham. I had been meditating for several years and was already well underway with freeing myself of old ways of being that did not serve me and allowing new ideas to take root in me. It wasn't long before I began to consider reincarnation as my own belief and fill in the details with what I experience from working with energy. When I work with energy, I attune to distinct sensations when connecting into physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental energies. It is possible to differentiate between energies that are active and engaged and those that are absent. Over the past few years, my mother-in-law, two of our guinea pigs, and our dog died. I was present either at physical death or just after, and could determine when the spirit exited. In only one of these deaths did physical death and spiritual departure coincide. At all the rest, there was a delay between physical death and the spirit leaving. The fact that physical death and the departure of the spiritual essence can occur at different times has helped me to both see death as a sacred transition and develop a personal belief system around life and death that comforts me. I believe that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, meaning that while we are in physical form, we have human-level consciousness that lets us do the ordinary daily routines. We also have access to a higher consciousness that I refer to as either divine consciousness or the higher self that we can tap into when we are in meditation, as well as when we still our thoughts and emotions during our regular day. The higher self is readily available. We can access it through our desire to connect with something bigger than ourselves. I believe that love is the lesson that we are here to learn when we incarnate. The more we are open to love, the more easily we can connect to our higher selves, and the more we are able to progress on our spiritual journeys. When we die, our physical body and spiritual essence separate. The body dies, and the spirit moves on to a more expanded state until it is reborn into another form. We continue to be reborn until we fully surrender to love, evolving to be mostly the higher self. When we leave this last lifetime in death, we return to the pure spirit form in which we originated. We come from love, and we return to love.
This is by John O'Donohue, a Civil War soldier.
I apologize.
This is by John O'Donohue. I'm sorry. I had a note on my thing. I apologize. It's just by John O'Donohue. It is a strange and magical fact to be here, walking around in a body, to have a whole world within you and a world at your fingertips outside of you. It is an immense privilege, and it is incredible that humans manage to forget the miracle of being here. Rilke said, being here is so much. It is uncanny how social reality can deaden and numb us so that the mystical wonder of our lives goes totally unnoticed. We are here. We are wildly and dangerously free. The more lonely side of being here is our separation with the world. When you live in a body, you are separate from every other object and person. Many of our attempts to pray, to love, and to create are secret attempts at transfiguring that separation in order to build bridges outward so that others can reach them. At death, this physical separation is broken. The soul is released from its particular existence and exclusive location in this body. The soul then comes into a free and fluent universe of spiritual belonging.
I don't know what will happen to my consciousness, my spirit, my essence when my body dies. Like everyone else, I would rather that it continues in some way. Having said that, I do not know for sure. I have, because I'm a minister, witnessed many deaths, been companions to many deaths, often quite beautiful. And I frequently feel that the spirit of the dying person does, in some way, move along, leave for the beyond. When my mother died, my daughter and I opened a window. That feeling was so strong in the room. And to be true, when I first held my infant son in my arms, I had the strong sense that he was arriving from a sacred source. And I once had a meditation experience that seemed to take my consciousness to a place of union with God, with cosmic consciousness, with the unnameable all. All of these experiences leave me open to possibilities I cannot know, and they make me curious. I do know that my body will become part of the earth elements, and because I love the earth and because I have accepted that everything alive has to participate in the cycle of life, I find this comforting and meaningful. I believe with, I think, everyone else here, how we live our lives for good or ill is most important, continues to affect life after we die. How we raise our children, the social issues we affect, the love we give and receive can be our gifts to the future. While I believe that this effect will go on forever, I also know that very quickly, most likely, it will detach from memory of me. Life is vast and the cosmos is limitless. I've spent useful time becoming reconciled to the fact that the continuation of my particular Kathleen Hepler consciousness is not necessarily a concern of that vast and limitless, wondrous process. This thought invites me to try to be as alive and aware and grateful and moved in the span of this great gift of my life. Accepting death, it seems, I have become more alive. I've worked to be less fearful of death. I have learned to let grief flow through me like the love it is whenever it has occasion to do so, to welcome it, to let it teach me, and almost these days, comfort me. To whatever degree I have succeeded, I am more available to be present in life. How wonderful it has been sharing these conversations with all of these people. The poem I choose to end with is by Miguel Ortega Silva. When nothing remains of me but a tree, when my bones have been scattered upon this Mother Earth, when nothing remains of you but a white rose nourished by that which once you were, when the breath of the kiss that we exchange today has embarked upon 1,000 different breezes, when even our names have become mere sounds without echo, asleep in the shade of fathomless sound, then you shall live on in the beauty of the rose, and I in the rustling of the tree, and our love in the murmur of the breeze. Listen to me. My wish for us is to live also in the spoken words of men and women. I would survive with you in the deep life stream of humanity, in the laughter of children, in love without weeping. Therefore, as we must give ourselves to the rose and the tree, to the earth and the wind, let us give ourselves to the future of the world. Please rise now for the singing of hymn 108, verses 1 and 2.
My life goes on.
We are simply asked to make gentle a bruised world, to heal and tame its savageness, to be compassionate toward all, including ourselves, and in the time left over, go the way of life's foolish ones, who go for love in their living and wonder about all of their life. Since love prevails in heaven and earth, how can we keep from singing?